At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going
to
be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, January 7th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. I hope you all had an amazing Tuesday. I hope you enjoyed day two of our playoff pods. Again, recording a pod, me and James, every day until at 10 a.m. until the Eagles are eliminated from the postseason. Last year, 38 straight pods, me and James. And for, you know, our favorite podcast host that we know struggles with sleep, it's a big time commitment by him, and happy that we are able to do it. So hope you enjoyed day two. certainly one of the wilder endings to the pod we've ever had in terms of discussion. So been thinking and texting in the group chat about that one. But anyway, let's get into today, because today is Wednesday. It is the midday of the week. It is officially, you are now closer to the playoff game. Nah, I guess you're not closer yet, but you're getting closer, as the Eagles and Niners are now just a few days away from kickoff, 4:30 Lincoln Financial Field. I'm starting to feel better about the game. As we get closer, the more you learn about the Niners, the more you look at the matchups. I think the team feels confident too, which is a good thing, just in terms of my feel. Now, I'll be in the locker room later today. I'll get a better read of it, but I'm feeling better about it as the game goes on. And part of which we'll talk about today in terms of injuries the Niners are dealing with, some matchup things that I think I work well for the Eagles. And then we're going to begin to preview the game and look at the Eagles defensive line versus the Niners offensive line, a matchup I think they should be able to win. So let's get it going. Let's get your Wednesday started, because then at 10 a.m. you can tune on into Twitter and listen and watch the Go Birds pod there, or it'll be in your feed later today. So on the schedule for today, the Eagles kick off their beginning of the practice week, their practice week for the Niners, with Nick Sirianni scheduled to speak to the media at 11:55. Practice begins at 2:50. Big thing at practice today is Lane out there. Does he have a helmet on? I expect him to be out there. I expect him to practice. But it's been a wild turn of events with Lane, and as he battles to come back from this injury. So we'll see if he's out there today. But that'll be a big one. 2:50, 4:00, the locker room opens up. We'll hear from Jalen Hurts, hear from some of the players. And then tonight, Go Birds Evenings return. Took a little break for the holiday. It was Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, so I wasn't on the air, but we're back tonight and we're beginning the playoff run where we started the regular season run with Jimmy Kempski of Philly Voice. He'll be in studio with me tonight from 6 to 8. So if you've never called in, call in. If you're a regular, call in. And I'm excited to really dive into this matchup. I do think, look, all the beat writers are amazing. They all have their various strengths. I think one thing Jimmy is great at is knowing the opponent. So I'm really excited to dive into the matchup with him tonight. And of course, talk about all the other odds and ends surrounding the team. So Go Birds Evenings tonight from 6 to 8. So your day, 10 a.m., me and James, the daily playoff pod. 11:55, Nick Sirianni press conference. 2:50, practice begins. Lane Johnson update. 4:00, locker room and Jalen Hurts press conference. And then 6 to 8 tonight, me and Jimmy Kempski, 94 WIP. Call on in, 215-592-9494. Okay, Let's get to the injury report because there is a lot of injury news. Good news for the Eagles, bad news for the 49ers. So the good news is Vic Fangio spoke to the media on Tuesday, which you will hear some of what he had to say in a little bit. But as Vic does, he was very honest. He said he expects N'Kobe Dean to play. Now, it's funny because earlier in Tuesday morning, Nick Sirianni was on the WIP morning show and he was like, yeah, they're both fighting to play. He wouldn't say. Vic comes out a few hours later and says N'Kobe's playing. So they expect N'Kobe to be out there. Obviously, a big deal to have N'Kobe out there against the 49ers. I mean, talk about a week where linebackers are important. George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, two players that linebackers are going to have a big part in trying to shut down. So having N'Kobe Dean back will be huge. I would still expect to see some Jahad Campbell. The benefit of playing him is he's athletic, he can make plays, he can cover well, right? The downside is the Niners, a lot of eye candy in that offense. With a young linebacker trying to make plays, that could be a concern. So N'Kobe back out there against the Niners, according to Vic Fangio. So very good news for the Eagles. On the flip side of that, the Niners are dealing with big-time injuries at their linebacker position, as it is now known that linebacker Tatum Bethune, 49ers essentially starting linebacker, he started since week six, is out for the playoffs with a groin injury. He took over when Fred Warner went out for the year back in week six. He's number two among the team in snaps at the linebacker position for the 49ers on defense this year. So you now look at their linebacker core, right? Fred Warner, out for the year. Tatum Bethune, out for the year. D. Winters, who has played the most snaps this year for them at linebacker, he's dealing with an ankle injury. It's unclear if he'll play. He's played 91% of the snaps. So we'll get a better read on that as the week goes on. I would think he would play, like not being close to the situation, but with them being so thin at linebacker, with it being a playoff game, you know, I would think he plays, but still, like, he will be banged up. So Fred Warner out, D. Winters hurt, Tatum Bethune out, Luke Gifford, who's played, again, now we're getting down like deep into the depth chart. He's played 15% of the snaps, which is a lot compared to the rest of them. He has a quad injury. He might not play. Curtis Robinson, who's played 22% of the snaps, he will play if Winters can't play, but we'll see. I mean, he's only played 22% of the snaps. Eric Kendricks, linebacker, veteran that, of course, is a brother of Michael Kendricks. He's been called up recently. He's only played 4% of the snaps. And then Garrett Wallow, another backup linebacker, only played 4% of the snaps. So you just look at who they might have at linebacker. Two of their top three guys definitely out. Then the other two top guys, both questionable to play due to injury. So you could be looking at a linebacker core of Eric Kendricks, Curtis Robinson, and Garrett Wallow. Obviously, that's a linebacker core the Eagles should try to take advantage of. I think there's a bunch of different ways you can do that, which we'll talk about throughout the week. You could run hurry up, Goddard over the middle, like big time ways you can take advantage of the inexperience in the middle of the field. So from an injury perspective, good news for the Eagles, bad news for the 49ers. And the Niners injuries don't stop there. Kyle Shanahan spoke to the media this week, I think it was yesterday, and gave a bunch of updates. Brock Purdy was dealing with a thumb/shoulder injury. It seems like he's okay, but he is dealing with injuries going into the game. And as we've talked about this week, Trent Williams, their best offensive lineman, their starting tackle, has a hamstring injury. Ricky Pearsall, their second best receiver, has an ankle and knee injury. And then one of their best defensive linemen, Keon White, has a hamstring injury. Safety Jair Brown has a rib injury. Defensive tackle Khalil Davis, knee tendonitis. All those guys are day-to-day. So you just think about who the Niners are and like what players you think of. Joey Bosa, out for the year. Fred Warner, out for the year. Brock Purdy, injured. Trent Williams, injured. They're linebackers. Like, they are a banged-up team right now. So while we had the debate about the two seed and health and all that, now that that debate's over, there's no question the Eagles are absolutely the healthier team going into this game. So things shaping up well from an injury perspective for the Eagles, but we will get a better read on that as the practice week goes on, and that begins today. All right, now let's get into some of what Vic Fangio, Kevin Petullo, and we're even get some Michael Clay audio for you, had to say on Tuesday, because it's playoff mode. We are all in, and I need you to know everything that is being said down at the NovaCare. So first up, Vic Fangio was asked about the 49ers offense in general, just what he likes about them, what the challenges they present are, and here's what Vic had to say.
What challenges do San Francisco's offense present from just watching them this year?
Yeah, lots of them. They have a really good scheme. It's all packaged together very nicely. They give you a lot of good motions. Everything they do is with a purpose, and they do a really good job of it. Obviously, Purdy operates it very well. McCaffrey's an elite back, got a good group of receivers. You know, Kittle at tight end. I mean, they had a run where they were hottest offense in the league for like 6-7 weeks in a row here of late.
So a few noteworthy things in there, right? He talks about the motion, right? How they use motion and everything they do is with a purpose, right? Like if they're doing something, there is a reason for it. He mentions, you know, a stretch in the middle of the season where they're one of the best offenses in the NFL. And he was asked later on in the press conference again about the 49ers and their use of motion. And it's worth noting the Niners use motion 66% of the time. That's the third most in the NFL this season. So when you think of the Eagles defense and what motion can do, right? Motion is used for a bunch of different reasons. A, to figure out what defenses are in, but also B, to trick the defense, to get them confused, to pre-snap, like have them look at a bunch of different things. So it's key that communication, right, will be big in the secondary, but and amongst the linebackers, but also like not buying into the eye candy, not getting tricked by things, like trusting what you see initially and not getting tricked and reading correctly what's happening with the motion. So if you look at the Eagles back seven, right, Quinyon and Cooper, young players, but I would say I trust them and their read on what they're seeing. They're excellent players, play like veterans, right? Adoree Jackson is a veteran. Zach Bond, only 1 year at linebacker, so I trust his football IQ, not a ton of experience there. Nakobe, super high football IQ. Reed Blankenship, high football IQ. And then Marcus Epps, for while not like the most athletic playmaking safety, I do think just in terms of being in the right place and being dependable, he certainly checks that box. So I do think the Eagles will handle motion well. If you look at other teams that use motion a lot, like the Rams, the Eagles defense, you know, bad first half against the Rams, but figured it out as it went on and played well. Like I trust them against motion, but stopping the motion, or not stopping it, but understanding the motion and not getting tricked by it, going to be absolutely huge. Probably a game where Vic is thankful Sidney Brown won't be in there, because Sidney plays 150 miles an hour and just seems super susceptible to getting tricked by motion. But I feel good about the Eagles' chances of not getting tricked by that. Now, another key for the Eagles on defense is going to be stopping Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, he is a ton of receiving yards, ton of rushing yards, one of the most, if not actually the best dual threat running back in the NFL. Jahmyr Gibbs certainly has an argument there too, but Christian McCaffrey, just an elite, elite player. And we've seen in the past, Christian McCaffrey really torched this team. In fact, and I think, you know, we'll talk about this with Jimmy tonight, like the Eagles linebackers, the last time they played the Niners, really struggled against those players. And now Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle come back and the Eagles have way better linebackers. So Fangio was asked about Christian McCaffrey and here's what he had to say.
With Christian, what makes him so difficult as a matchup? Is it more of the receiving part of it than?
Both. He's a good, very good runner when they hand it off to him. And obviously he is a very good receiver. I think he's got over 100 receptions this year. And he's always a threat that way. And they do like to scheme plays for him in the passing game.
Yeah, I think with McCaffrey, it's twofold, right? It's knowing what he's doing and it's tackling him once you get to him. And I think those are two things. Eagles have been a good tackling team throughout the year. And then again, this comes down to like motion and knowing what you're looking at and being prepared. Like Christian McCaffrey is a player you have to stop pre-snap as well in terms of being confident what he's going to do. And then, of course, afterwards, tackling him. Now, the good news is the 49ers, not a good running team this year. In fact, if you look at their yards per carry on rushing attempts, they're 30th. They're 30th in the league on rushing yards per attempt, just under 4 yards a carry. So they've not been a good running team. McCaffrey has a lot of yards, but he's needed a lot of touches to do it. So McCaffrey obviously will be huge. Then you look at George Kittle, but stopping McCaffrey probably will be priority number one for the Eagles defense. Next up, Vic Fangio was asked about Brock Purdy holding on to the ball. And you know, Brock Purdy this year, he is 41st in the NFL among 45 quarterbacks in time to throw. He takes him just over 3.14 seconds. So one of the slowest times in the NFL. For what it's worth, Jalen Hurts is 8th in the NFL, or I should say, I guess that, you know, if you flip it, like he's right behind Brock Purdy, 3.08 seconds to throw. So him and Brock, two of the slowest quarterbacks in the NFL in getting rid of the ball. And obviously part of that is because they move around the pocket, they scramble. And Vic was asked about Brock Purdy and what he's good at when he does hold onto the ball. And here's what Vic had to say.
Purdy holds the ball as long as any quarterback. In terms of like extending plays, he doesn't get sacked at a high rate. You know, what are the keys to not allowing him to do things out of structure?
Yeah, he's very good at that. He's a scrambler, and when he's scrambling, he's looking down the field. His eyes go down the field. He's wanting to throw out of the scramble, you know, before he decides to run it, and he's very good at it. And they have a lot of maximum or, you know, play action type protections where, you know, he's going to have some time anyway. And then if he doesn't like what he sees, he can buy even the more time. And I think that's why his average is up there so high.
So what's interesting is that both Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts are among the slowest quarterbacks in the NFL to get rid of the ball. But the difference between Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts is that Brock Purdy is very good at not allowing pressure. Jalen Hurts does allow pressure. Now, I think Jalen's got better at it. His sack rate has gone down this year, so he has improved in that area. But Brock Purdy, according to Pro Football Focus, 25th in the NFL in pressures allowed among quarterbacks. So look at that, right? He is fifth in the NFL in terms of time to throw. So he is one of the slowest quarterbacks in the NFL to throw the ball, but allows some of the least pressure. So he is in the pocket a while, but he's not allowing pressure, which is telling you he's maneuvering the pocket well. Jalen is eighth in the NFL in time to throw, so one of the slowest as well, but then he is ninth in the NFL in pressure allowed. So there's a clear difference there. Brock stays in the pocket, but doesn't allow pressure. Jalen stays in the pocket, but allows pressure. So it's going to be key in this game. Like, which quarterback will get sacked for more negative yards, right? Is Jalen going to get sacked? Will he be running it more? Will they be able to get to Brock Purdy if he's used to holding on to the ball against, you know, a 49ers offensive line that's not that good, going up against a red-hot Eagles defensive line? Can they get to Purdy and bring him down? So that is going to be one of the keys in this game. And, you know, can the back seven hold up when Brock Purdy's moving around, not lose their guys, and not allow big plays that way? Now, the Niners don't have a lot of big plays. They're not a big play offense. If you look at where they rank in passing plays of 20 plus yards, they're right in the middle of the league. They're 13th, so a little better at that. But passing plays of 40 plus yards, they're 28th. So they don't make huge chunk plays, but they do create bigger plays by Brock running all around. So we will see if the Eagles can bring him down. All right, let's get to Kevin Petullo. So Kevin Petullo also took to the podium after Vic Fangio, was asked about the 49ers defense, and here's what Petullo had to say.
What are you seeing on film from their defense?
They do a good job. They're really, really well coached. Coach Sala does a good job, and he's done a good job for a long time. They fly around with the ball. They're very physical. So it's going to be a good test. I mean, I think when you watch, I know they've had personnel changes throughout the season, but I mean, they play extremely hard. They're disciplined. You can tell they know what they're doing within the scheme. So I think they've done a good job at this point. They did a good job against Seattle. Kind of, I know they gave up a lot of yards, but they held them out when they needed to. So it's going to be a good test.
So I know he's got to be complimentary, but I think they should be able to move the ball on this 49ers defense. They're just not a good defense. They're just flat out not a good defense. You look at their defensive stats. They are 19th in points per drive. So lower half of the league in points per drive. 20th in yards allowed per game. Almost 350 yards allowed per game. 18th in third down defense, right? So not a great third down defense. Then you go to red zone defense. They're 10th. So they're better at that, right? Top 10 red zone defense. That's good. 24th in turnovers forced. 30th in the NFL in snaps with the pressure, dead last in the NFL in sacks, 26th in the NFL in quarterback hits, 24th in the league against the run, 17th against the pass. Like there's not many things that they do really well, right? And if you look at drives that end in a score, on almost 40% of drives this year, teams have scored on the Niners. That's 14th, right? So that's not good. And then drives that end in a turnover, it's little under 9%, 23rd. So they don't force turnovers, they let up points, they let teams run the ball, and they don't pressure the quarterback. Like, the Eagles' offense should be able to move the ball against this 49ers defense. Now, will they be able to? We'll see. Like, there have been a lot of times this year where we've previewed games, and I've said, yeah, this is a good matchup for them, and then they don't step up and do it, right? Like, so the Bills game being a prime example. Now, I know weather was a factor there, and good news, the weather should be good and not an issue on Sunday. It looks like it's going to be in like the high 40s, low 50s, not a ton of wind. I think I saw the wind gusts were in like the 20s. That's not super low, but it's not a big deal either. So we'll see. Like, we talked on the daily pod on Tuesday, or the daily playoff pod on Tuesday, about Kevin Petullo and the pressure on him. Like, we'll see what their offense can do on Sunday against the 49ers. Another thing, and this is something we've talked about a lot this year on the pod, is like the Eagles snapping the ball late in the play clock, whether that's getting to the line late, whether that's getting to the line, but then that's not snapping the ball until it's at like 1 second. But this past week against Washington, it was a theme that they were much quicker than they normally are getting to the line. So Petullo was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
I'd like to ask two questions about this past game. Mm-hmm. The first being getting the snap off quicker. Was that an initiative? Was it something that was the byproduct of this game in particular? And then also short yardage situations. Is the play calling different in terms of, you know, the tush push or the quarterback sneak when Jalen's not in there?
So to answer your last question, we did some things what we wanted to do in this game at short yardage. That was a little bit different just because we felt like, you know, personnel wise and what they had done, we kind of wanted to change that up. And then as far as the getting the plays off quicker, I think really it just came down to how we structured some of the play calling as far as getting it into Tanner and how they were kind of orchestrated at the line. We didn't have as many things available for him to go through. So that kind of made a little bit of a difference.
Now, I should say it was one of their best games in terms of snapping the ball, right? So what could that be? Now, my read on it is based off what he said, like, I don't think it is something that they figured out in terms of like we should expect them to be much quicker to the line or whatever this upcoming Sunday. Although I will say it would certainly throw the 49ers off if they started snapping the ball with like 7 or 8 seconds left. Like, that would be a good, you know, play possum all year and then do that. I think it's more about they had backups in, things were super simple. There wasn't a lot of like audibling because of communication. They don't play together a lot. So that's my read on it, but it was encouraging to see, and you never know, maybe this upcoming Sunday, they'll be able to be better at it. It will certainly throw the 49ers off if they do. All right, finally, Michael Clay, rare special teams quote for you in today's Daily Pod, was asked about the 49ers special teams, and here's what he had to say.
Michael, what does San Francisco do well on special teams?
Yeah, Brandt's done an amazing job. You know, obviously coming from the Jets, he did a great job out there. Then coming into San Francisco, him and Colt, they do a great job being physical. You see Luke Gifford, the Pro Bowl nod from the NFC out there. They got two really good kickoff return guys, and Brian Robinson, obviously, when he played for Washington. Now he's got that role in San Francisco. Then Sky Moore, that end of the preseason trade. You know, Sky Moore's done a really good job, especially in the punt return phase of, you know, creating some big explosive plays for him. I think he had a 66-yard return against Cleveland. Got a lot of good wiggle, gets north and south, great speed. Then, you know, Sierra Neal, you know, I've kind of just watched his game over, you know, probably the last 6-7 years when he was in Buffalo. Then in Miami last year, does a really good job on the outside. So I think Brent does a heck of a job, you know, getting those guys playing hard, you know, even with those injuries, you know, some depletion from the linebacker room, DB room, they still play extremely hard and they're very physical.
So, of course, special teams will play a big factor in this game. We already saw in the first kind of playoff game this year, Steelers-Ravens, those kicks at the end decided the game, right? Both missed kicks. The Steelers kicker misses an extra point. The Ravens, now only down 2 points instead of 3, go for the win, get a makeable field goal, and miss the field goal. So kicking, punt returns, kick returns, all that will impact it. So let's talk briefly about the 49ers special teams. Their kicker, Eddie Pinheiro, has been very good this year. He's made 91% of his field goals, or at least I think they had 2 games where they had a backup kicker. The Niners, as a team, have made 91% of their field goals this year. His long is a 59, so he has good range. Their punter, Thomas Morstead, solid punter. And then you look at they have the 6th highest return against average this year on punts. So while Morstead is a solid punter, they have not done well in punt coverage. Britton Covey, a big day perhaps. And then their 21st highest return average on kick return. So they're not great. They're not great at either of these at these things, right? So I think punt returns is definitely an area where Britton Covey could have a big day. Their punt returner, kick returner, Sky Moore, nothing special this year. They haven't really done an outstanding job on that. So I do think the Eagles special teams, like, they've not been great this year. Now, I will say the Niners have not had a kick blocked at all this year. We know the Eagles have done a good job getting their hands on kicks this season, but I'd probably give the Eagles special teams the advantage in this matchup. All right, on the other side, we are going to get into starting to preview this game, really break it down position by position. The Eagles defensive line versus the 49ers offensive line. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get two snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California and for delivery.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's get into maybe the most important matchup of the game. I mean, obviously, both matchups along the line are important. You could maybe argue the Eagles' offensive line versus the 49ers' defensive line is more important, but I think we would all agree heading into the postseason, the position that we feel, I would say, probably the best about is the Eagles' defensive line. So I would say going into this, if the Eagles are going to win on Sunday, the Eagles' defensive line absolutely has to dominate. I'd be pretty surprised if they won the game 37-34 or something like that, where the Eagles' offensive line was awesome and the Eagles' defensive line wasn't. I think ultimately this team, they need a great defensive line performance to get through the postseason. I still think Jalen needs to be special and they'll go as far as Jalen takes them. But the Eagles' defensive line has been the unit that's really carried them, you know, the last month of the season. Last 5-6 weeks of the season, whatever you want to say. I mean, they've been a dominant unit. And the good news is, in their first playoff matchup, they will be going up against a 49ers offensive line that is just not that good. Like, they have one really good player, and then outside of that, they're a unit that doesn't have really any great players. They're a unit that counts on Brock Purdy to move around back there, avoid pressure, make things happen. We talked in the first part of the pod about how Brock Purdy holds on to the ball quite a bit, but does a good job back there not inviting pressure. He knows how to navigate the pocket. So really, it's Trent Williams and everybody else. And Trent Williams enters this week. Is dealing with currently a hamstring injury. Now, we'll find out later today when the first injury report of the week is put out what his participation is. If he doesn't play, they will go with Austin Pleasance, who has played the last two games. So not only not a good offensive line, but an offensive line that is dealing with an injury to their most important offensive lineman. Now, you could make the argument that's kind of like the Eagles' offensive line, right? With Lane Johnson dealing with an injury in a line that hasn't played great this year. I just think the difference is there's more individual talent on the Eagles' offensive line. Now, they're not playing up to their potential, but I think the 49ers' offensive line just doesn't have the resume that the Eagles' offensive line does in terms of their players. So let's get into it and talk about who has the matchup advantage in this game, the Eagles' defensive line versus the 49ers' offensive line. So as always, let's start with some information about the 49ers' offensive line. So they are 17th in the league in blocking, in pass blocking, according to Pro Football Focus. Now, they are ranked second in run blocking. And you know I'm a Pro Football Focus guy, but it's interesting because they're 30th in yards per attempt on the ground. So obviously that doesn't seem to add up, but just take that for what it is. Two pieces of information. You can decide to believe which one you want to believe. I tend to believe they're not a great running team, despite the good run blocking grades. But yeah, 17th in Pro Football Focus pass blocking, second in run blocking. In their line on Sunday should look something like this. Now, we'll assume to start that Trent Williams is going to play. Then we'll talk about some potential differences if he doesn't. But Trent Williams at left tackle, Spencer Burford, at left guard, Jake Brendel at center, Dominic Pooney at right guard, and Colton McKivitz at right tackle. So obviously we know Trent Williams, one of the best tackles in the NFL over the past, you know, really however long he's played. He's an outstanding player. He's a tone setter for them. He's similar, I would say, to Jason Peters in terms of what the toughness he brings to that offense and just like the personality he gives them has been outstanding this year. 12th in Pro Football Focus pass blocking, 32 pressures allowed. That's going up against, you know, one of the best, you know, going up against good edge rushers every week is the left tackle. So he's outstanding. If he does play, it will be him up against Jalix Hunt. Now, Jalix Hunt has been unbelievable recently. Jalix Hunt has been arguably a top 15 edge rusher in the NFL this season. He has started to play exclusively on the right side since Jalen Phillips got here. It's been interesting. You know, when they acquired Jalen Phillips, we talked about what would they do with Nolan Smith, because Nolan Smith had only ever played on the left. Jalen Phillips had only ever played on the left. Well, obviously, Jalen Phillips won that battle out because Jalen Phillips only plays on the left. Whereas Jalix Hunt, prior to Jalen Phillips getting here, was playing on both sides. Jalix Hunt now plays on the right side. So when they have their two best edge rushers on the field, which this season have been Jalen Phillips and Jalix Hunt, it's Jalen Phillips on the left, Jalix Hunt on the right, and Nolan Smith bounces back and forth between the two sides. So Trent Williams won't be seeing Jalen Phillips. He'll be going up against Jalix Hunt and Nolan Smith. And look, if Trent Williams plays and plays to his best potential, that's a really tough matchup for Jalix Hunt. But Trent Williams is dealing with a hamstring injury. Who knows if he'll be able to finish the game? He hasn't played in two games. And with Jalix Hunt just like red hot right now and how he's playing, I actually think that's a good matchup for the Eagles. So we'll see. You know, the doctors can do amazing things in terms of making a hamstring feel good for a few hours. But I do think that that is much more of an even matchup than I would have thought 2 months ago. Or really, I mean, imagine going into the year saying Jalix Hunt is a matchup advantage over Trent Williams. Really speaks to how much Jalix Hunt has improved this year. Now, if Trent Williams doesn't play, or if Trent Williams comes out of the game at any point, the backup that they've been going to is Austin Pleasant. So he is a four-year NFL vet. He started in Carolina, then went to the Chargers, and has been with San Francisco last year and this year. Has not really played this year, only played the last two games. Wasn't on the field much outside of special teams besides that. Now, he did play 33% of the games last year. I apologize, 33% of the snaps last year, which is kind of another way of saying 33% of the games, but whatever. 33% of the snaps last year. And he's played the last two games. He's not been great. 5 total pressures. He gave up a sack. He's given up a hit. He's given up 3 hurries. So if Trent Williams can't finish the game or is unable to play in the game, that's a major advantage that Hunt has to take advantage of. Nolan Smith as well when he's on that side. So the left side, Trent Williams at left tackle, and then left guard Spencer Burford. So 75th in Pro Football Focus pass blocking, 21 pressures allowed, 17 hurries, 2 hits, 2 sacks. You know, not a great player. So the left side of the line, I think, definitely is there to be taken advantage of. And you look at the middle of that line, Jake Brendel, one of the worst pass blocking centers in the NFL, 32nd according to Pro Football Focus. Right guard Dominic Pooney is 35th among guards. So that's not terrible among guards. You know, it's top half when there's two guards on each team. But you look at the pressures allowed on the interior. In the interior, they've given up 74 pressures among those three players. So for an Eagles defensive line that is really strong at defensive tackle right now, Moro Jomo's playing well. Jordan Davis is having a career year. Obviously, Jalen Carter is Jalen Carter. You would think they'd have the advantage on the inside as well. And then you go to the right side with Colton McKivitz, 36 Pro Football Focus pass blocking, 32 pressures allowed. So only two, I mean, the same amount as Trent Williams. But, you know, obviously hasn't gone up against good of guys, I guess. So 21 hurries, 8 hits, 3 sacks. So you just look at the line overall. Jalen Phillips should be able to win his matchup. You like Jalix Hunt against that left side, whether it is Trent Williams or whether it's Austin Pleasant. And then the inside of that line is certainly there for the Eagles to get pressure on. It'll really come down to, can they bring Brock Purdy down? Like, that will be the question. Can they bring Brock Purdy down? Because they'll get to him, right? They allow pressures. The issue is more, are they going to be able to, is Purdy going to get away and make things happen down the field? So and then you go to the running game. Again, like I said, second in run blocking, but in terms of yards per carry, they're just not that good. Rushing yards per attempt, again, 30th in the NFL, under 4 yards per carry. So I do think the Eagles have the advantage on the line here. They're going to have the advantage. Their defensive line is going to have to dominate if they're going to win this game. So we're going to, like I said, started with this matchup today. I give the Eagles the edge on their defensive line versus 49ers offensive line. Tomorrow, we will get into the flip side of that and look at the Eagles offensive line. Hopefully, I'd have a better idea at that point what's going on with Lane Johnson and look at a really bad 49ers pass rush. So thank you so much for listening to the Daily Pod. As I said, big day ahead. Got the pod with James at 10 a.m. And then me and Jimmy Kemsky, Sports Radio, 94 WIP, tonight from 6 to 8. Call in, 215-592-9494. So thank you guys for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.